Hey, amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9. Last week, we began to look at the subject of hell. It's the doctrine that divides forever. Psalm chapter 9. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house today. And Lord, we realize from your word that you want your house to be a house of prayer, as we have just heard sung. And I pray that this would be a house of prayer. I pray that it would be a house of doctrine. I pray that it would be a house where we would never be ashamed to preach the word, to talk about anything that your word talks about. So, Lord, please have your way in each of our hearts today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 9, verse 17. The Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into where? Into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Remember, we mentioned to you last week that in 2003, Fox News did a poll and found out that 74% of Americans is all that believed in hell, 74%. The year following, Gallup did a poll in 2004, and 70% of Americans believed in hell. It dropped 4% in 1 year. And then in 2008, 4 years later, 59% of Americans said they believed in hell. So it dropped from 74% to 59% in just 5 years. Well, if it continues on at that rate, there's not going to be many people that believe in hell pretty soon. And so we looked at that from the aspect of there's not much preaching about hell. And after I preached that last week, I had some people tell me that. They'd had conversations with other people wondering why there's not much preaching on hell anymore. Well, the reason is everyone wants a positive message. And of course, hell is just a little bit negative. And they don't want to hear about the negative. But as we mentioned last week, if you like the positive, then you won't be going anywhere for lunch. I hope you brought your lunch. Because if you just connect that positive battery cable, you're not going anywhere. There has to be positive and negative to have a flow, have a power flow. So, we saw last week, number one, there is a literal place called hell. We see it right here in this verse. Number two, we looked at why did God create such a horrible place as hell. Matthew 25, 41, he prepared it for the devil and his angels. Number three, the question got brought up, why did God create such an evil creature as the devil? God did not create anything evil. The devil was created as a cherub. He was called the anointed cherub that covereth. God created a very beautiful creature. Ezekiel chapters 1, chapter 10, described to us a cherub, and it's described as a very beautiful creature, even though in our minds we can't understand how someone with four faces can be beautiful. It just, to our minds, we just can't comprehend it, but the Bible says the creature is beautiful. Number four, we looked at the Bible is not going to be the king of hell. The average person in the world would say if they believed in hell, they would say, well, the devil's down there with his pitchfork poking everyone. Well, the devil is not the king of hell. The devil, hell was created to torment the devil and his angels. Number five, we looked at those people who refuse to repent and by faith receive Jesus Christ will spend eternity with Satan in that place called hell. Number six, we saw many religious people are going to be surprised to find themselves being cast into hell because they're religious but lost. They're like Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, but lost. They need to be born again. Number seven, we saw there's real fire in hell from Luke 16. The rich man died and found himself in the torment of fire in those flames. Number eight, we saw fire in hell is not temporary, but it is everlasting. It's always called everlasting fire or eternal fire. Number nine, we saw last week that there are worms in hell and that God has given us an illustration down deep in the oceans. Giant tube worms, 8 feet long. Number 10, we saw there's no light in hell. Those people who go to hell will never see light. And we saw how Pharaoh, that was one of the plagues he couldn't stand. 3 days of darkness. He couldn't stand it anymore and called for Moses. 3 days is nothing compared to eternity in hell with no light. We're at a new point now this morning, number 11. There is no water in hell. No water in hell. Luke 16. And of course, in the verses we read last week, we would have touched on this point, but we just didn't spell it out specifically, which we're now trying to do. There is no water in hell. Luke 16, verse 22. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in what? Water. And cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So there's no water in hell. Excuse me, in verse 25, Abraham tells him, remember, you had it good in your life. Lazarus had it bad. Well, it's reversed now. There's no water. There's no drink. A little later, we're going to cover the matter of some people say that Jesus actually went to hell for 3 days and suffered. We're gonna look at that in just a moment. But I just want to comment on one point here about that. When Jesus hung on the cross, he was suffering the attributes or the traits, the things that are found in hell. The 3 hours of total darkness, that is something in hell. Jesus suffered that on the cross. He didn't have to suffer that after the cross. He suffered that on the cross. In this matter of thirst, that's another thing that Jesus suffered on the cross. Notice in John 19. John 19. John chapter 19. Jesus did not have to go to hell to suffer more. He suffered for our sins. He bare his own sin. He bare our sin in his own body on the tree. In 1 Peter 2:24. He did that while he was hanging there on the cross. John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith what? I thirst. I thirst. The only difference is that when Jesus was on the cross, they tried to give him a drink there. But in hell, there's no drink to be had, whether it's vinegar here, verse 29, or water or whatever. There's nothing there. A number of years ago, Brother Jim and I went to see a man on Wabasas Lake Road. An older man, he had never married, and I don't know if Brother Jim remembers, I think he's like in his 80s, 70s or 80s at that time, and we tried to persuade him to repent and get saved, and he was hardened. You know, you would think somebody up in years like that in a second would get saved. I mean, you would think they'd know they're not invincible and that death is coming, but his heart was hardened, and I believe he had a relative out west. I don't know if it was California or somewhere that he shared with us had been trying to talk to him about the Lord. I don't know if this person was truly saved or not. I don't remember all the details. But some months later, this man was getting the mail and he was hit. I don't know if he was in his car and his car was just hit when he was partially off the road trying to get the mail, or if he had walked. I don't remember all the details. But he was injured nonetheless in that accident trying to get his mail. And the last words he said to the rescue personnel was, I'm thirsty. Will you get me some water? And when I heard that, I heard that he died and I heard that he said those words, all I could think about was that was just a precursor to what he would be experiencing in just a few moments. When he died and went to hell, it was like God was already giving him a touch of what it was like in hell. He was thirsty. He'd be dead in just a few moments. And his last words were, I'm thirsty. Would you get me some water? Well, as we see here in Luke 16, there is no water in hell. No water at all. So that was point 11. Point 12. The center of the earth fits the description of hell. It fits the description of hell. It's very probable that God has placed hell in the center of this earth. Let's look at several verses. Number one, because hell is always described as being down. Look at Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. It's very possible and probable that hell is indeed in the center of the earth. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Look at just several verses here. Isaiah 14, verse 9. Isaiah 14, 9. Hell from where? Beneath. Is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. So hell from beneath is moved. Look at Isaiah 14 here in verse 15. Verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought where? Down to hell. To the sides of the pit. I mean, it's picturing a pit. It's picturing down in the earth. Look at Amos chapter 9. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. It's got to be there. Don't tear your Bible pages. It's there. Okay. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Amos chapter 9, verse 2. Amos 9, 2. Though they, what? Dig into hell, then shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. Heaven is pictured, always pictured as up. Hell is always pictured as down. Look in Psalm 86. Psalm 86. It is very possible and probable that hell is in the center of the earth. Psalm 86, verse 13. Psalm 86, 13. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the what? Lowest hell. Lowest hell? How many hells are there? Well, before you get too excited about that, think about what the Bible talks about heaven. How many heavens are there? Oh, let's look at some verses here. The Bible mentions three heavens. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Three heavens. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The third, or the highest heaven, is paradise. It's the dwelling place of God. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2. 2 Corinthians 12, 2, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the what? Third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth how that he was caught where? Up into where? Paradise. And heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So, you compare verses 2 and 4, the third heaven is paradise. The third heaven is the dwelling place of God. Now, you have a problem with saying that Jesus went from the cross straight to hell to suffer for our sins for 3 days and three nights. Because he said to the dying thief, and let's look at that, Luke 23. He didn't say to the dying thief, well, sir, I hate to break the news to you, but there's a little purgatory here that we have to go through. No, that's not what he said to him at all. And in Luke 23 and verse 39, Luke 23:39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? I want you to notice This thief did not just say, Lord, remember me. He confessed several things. Number one, that he was a sinner. He says, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed, what? Justly. So he was saying, listen, fellow, we are sinners. We are receiving the just due that we deserve. For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. So he was saying, pointing to Jesus, saying, but Jesus has done nothing amiss. Jesus is perfect. Jesus is sinless. We are sinners. Jesus is perfect. Verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You've got to remember that Jesus is dying on the cross just like this thief. So that was by faith saying, you know what? I believe Jesus is going to rise again. He's going to rule and reign. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Death is not going to hold him. He is going to rise from the dead. So he was confessing several things, and you compare that with Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This dying thief was not just saying, Lord, remember me. When we're out witnessing, it would be wrong to say to people, if you want to be saved, just say, Lord, remember me. Well, that is not all that this man says. He confessed that he was a sinner. He confessed that Jesus is the perfect Savior. He confessed that Jesus was going to rise again from the grave. He confessed that Jesus was going to rule and reign. He confessed many things. And so verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in where? Paradise. We just know from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that paradise is the third heaven, the dwelling place of God. And he said, what day? Today. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Jesus did not go to hell for 3 days and three nights. Now, he went and preached to the spirits in the prison during this period. But he did not go and suffer in hell for 3 days and three nights. He said to this thief, today you're going to be with me in paradise. It wouldn't have been much consolation to say, well, sorry, Mr. Thief, but today you're going to be with me in purgatory. That wouldn't have been much consolation. So, the third heaven is the dwelling place of God. The second heaven is what we would call space, outer space. Notice in Genesis 1, the Bible calls that area heaven. Well, we're not going to wander around there with the stars. Last week we saw it refers to the people in hell as wandering stars in the blackness of darkness forever. We're not going to be wandering in the darkness of space forever and ever. That's not heaven, the dwelling place of God. But in Genesis 1, verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of where? Heaven. To divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for years, days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of where? The heaven. To give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them, that is the sun, moon, and stars, he set them in the firmament of where? Heaven. So the third heaven is paradise, the dwelling place of God. The second heaven would be outer space. Where would be the first heaven then? Notice Job 35. Job 35. The first heaven would be the atmosphere, because it's all also called heaven. So there's the atmosphere, there's the place where there is air, Job 35, and then there's the place where there's no air, space, outer space, and then there's the dwelling place of God. So first, second, and third heaven. The first and the second heavens are not called first heaven and second heaven. We're just told the dwelling place of God or paradise is the third heaven. Job 35, verse 10. Job 35, 10. But none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night, who teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of where? Heaven. And we can look at many, many more verses on these. If you want to study more on the three different heavens, consult the Heaven Bible course. It deals with these. But I don't think heaven would seem like heaven if there were seagulls there, do you? So this heaven we're talking about is the atmosphere. The fowls fly in the heaven. That's the first heaven. That's not the dwelling place of God. So consult that Bible course for more. Now, the Bible does that same principle with the subject of hell. Heaven, in a sense, is a generic word. You have to study the context. Is heaven where the fowls fly? I mean, are we going to be riding around in clouds, you know, the rest of our lives? Well, God's going to destroy this heaven and earth. Are we going to be wandering around in space? No, that's not the heaven. So you have to look at the context. Is it the heaven where the birds fly, the heaven where the sun, moon, and stars and planets are, or the heaven, paradise, the dwelling place of God? Hell. A lot of people get into trouble when you talk about hell because they're not looking at the context. They come up with strange doctrine. So in that sense, the word hell can be generic in the sense you've got to look at the context. And I'm going to give you some examples this morning. Now, we already looked at the lowest hell, and we'll look at it again in just a moment. But so what would be the first hell? The first hell. Well, very deep at some place on earth, but not buried. Not buried. Notice in Jonah 2. Jonah says he prayed out of hell. Jonah chapter 2. Well, you're going to have a problem. Does that mean that all carnal preachers go to hell? Well, a lot of people would say, well, they sure deserve it. Well, is that what happened to Jonah? Did God allow Jonah to go to hell and come back? Oh, this just must be a mistranslation, right? Or maybe a scribal error. Somebody just copied the wrong word, right? Wrong. Wrong. Don't ever go that route. Jonah 2. Jonah 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Says he's in the fish's belly. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of where? Hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Does this mean that all whales are in hell? What does this mean? Well, if you consider the fact that the word hell can be used in different ways, just like the word heaven, first, second, third heaven. Jonah says that he prayed, verse 1, out of the fish's belly. And verse 2, he says, out of the belly of hell I cried. Well, if you don't consider this matter before us here about taking a word in its context, you're going to come up with really a strange doctrine. All kinds of strange doctrines. So, the first hell would be down deep in the earth, like in the oceans, but not buried. The second hell would be the grave, buried by the dirt. Notice an example, Ezekiel 32. And we could give many more examples of this. Ezekiel 32 and verse 26. Ezekiel 32, 26. Noticing the context of the use of the word hell in this sense refers to the grave. Ezekiel 32, 26. There is Meshech, Tubal, and all her multitude, her graves, there's the word, her graves are round about him, all of them uncircumcised, slain by the sword, though they caused their terror in the land of the living. And they shall not lie with the mighty that are fallen of the uncircumcised, which are gone down to where? To hell. And here's the key. With their what? Weapons of war. Verse 26 is telling you the context is the grave. Verse 27 says they go down to hell, but with their weapons. What about the pharaohs that were buried in those pyramids? They were buried with their what? Their wealth. Guess where it stayed? Right there in the grave. We could look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. They can take their weapons in the grave, but you can't take your sword, your spear to hell, to the lowest hell. But you can take it to the grave. And it goes on, and they have laid their swords under their what? Heads. So the pictures of these warriors, of these leaders, and they laid them to rest upon their weapons. They laid their heads to rest upon their swords. Just like sometimes military men, they may bury them with maybe with their military uniform, maybe not. And sometimes, of course, not everything you see in the casket stays in the casket. Many times, things of value are taken off the body and given to the family. So what you see when you look at a person's body in a casket isn't always the way it appears or what is going to be in there when the undertaker gets through. He has certain instructions, and many times he'll take things off from the body and then close the casket and seal it. But so the picture is clear, verse 27. We're talking about laying these people to rest on their weapons. We're talking about the grave. And when it says in verse 27, they're going down to hell, it's talking about the grave here. So the first hell would be down deep on earth in a pit, deep in the ocean like Jonah. The second hell would be in the grave. And the lowest hell would be the place we normally refer to as hell. Just like normally we don't say, hey, look up to heaven, there's a bird. Or, hey, look up to heaven at the moon. Normally, we don't refer to those areas as heaven. When we talk about heaven, we are usually talking about the dwelling place of God. And when we refer to hell, we normally don't call a pit or down deep, oh, look at the fish I caught from hell. We don't say that. And we normally don't say, you know, we're laying this body to rest in hell. That would not be a good picture at all. So we normally don't use them in that way. Only of the lowest hell. Notice in Psalm 86 there, the third or the lowest hell. And once again, just like the Bible does not number those first two heavens, I mean, it doesn't say, ah, look, in the first heaven there are birds. Ah, look, in the second heaven there's the sun, moon, and stars. It just refers to the dwelling place of God as the third heaven. And in the case with hell, it doesn't say, well, are you talking about hell number one, number two, or number three? No, it just refers to the lowest hell, the lowest hell. So Psalm 86 and verse 13, Psalm 86. In verse 13, the Bible says, for great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the what? The lowest hell. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Understanding this principle clears up a great otherwise problem in regard to the Lord Jesus. And that is, when Jesus died on the cross, was it finished, or did he have to go to hell to suffer there? Well, John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. When Jesus died on the cross and said, it is finished, was it finished? Well, if it was finished there, then he didn't have to go to hell to suffer for our sins. If he had to go to hell to finish paying for our sins, then it was not finished. He would have had to say, it's almost finished. But he didn't say that. He said, it is finished. When he gave his blood, it was over. Our sins were atoned for at that point. Revelation 1:5, he washed us from our sins in his own blood. If Jesus, after having given his blood, still had to go to hell to suffer, then, my friend, Catholic purgatory is true. If Jesus himself, if it wasn't enough to give his blood, if he still had to go to hell, then you know what? He left an example, and we're to follow his steps. Well, he did not go to hell to suffer for our sins, and Catholic purgatory is a false doctrine. So, but notice Psalm 16. Psalm 16, if you don't understand these three uses of the word hell, that it can refer to down deep somewhere upon earth, and that it can refer to the grave, then you're going to have a big problem right here in Psalm 16, verse 9. Psalm 16, verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in what? In hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. What are you going to do with this? Because this is a prophecy referring to the Lord Jesus. The use of the word hell here is not referring to the place of torment. It's referring to the grave, and I'll prove that. Hold your place here, if you would, and turn to me to Acts 2. I'll prove that by what the Bible says here. Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. David was not going to hell. We just read God delivered him from the lowest hell. The Lord Jesus did not go to hell, not to suffer. Acts 2 and verse 29. Acts 2:29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of who? Christ. That his soul was not left where? In hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Okay, hold your place here, then, and turn to Acts 13. Acts 13. When he made that prophecy back in Psalms, that was a prophecy referring to Jesus Christ. Acts 13 and verse 35. Acts 13, 35. Acts 13, 35. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine who? Holy One to see what? Corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw what? We're talking about the grave. We're talking about David's body. We're not talking about David going to hell. We're talking about David's body saw corruption. Why? Because David's body was not resurrected like Jesus immediately. Verse 37, but he whom God raised again saw what? No corruption. We're talking about the grave here, the body. When it refers to Jesus not being left in hell, and you refer back there to these two previous verses in Acts chapter 2 and verse 29 there again, Acts 2:29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak in you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath unto him, with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit in his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. You compare that, excuse me, once again with in Psalm 16, verses 9 and 10. Psalm 16, 9 and 10. And in verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So that word hell there is referring to the grave, not to the place of torment. Because the context is being in that place and not experiencing corruption. In other words, Jesus' body was only there 3 days and three nights, not long enough to start decomposing. And he was raised. His body saw no corruption. That's what that is about. His body saw no corruption in the grave because it wasn't there long enough. So, you put all those together. The problem is, if you don't realize that the word hell can be used in different senses, then the Bible is very clear there about Jesus being in hell. And if you don't take the context of that word, now you have the doctrine, oh, well, I've got to put Jesus in hell, at least for a short time. Well, we've already seen the thief on the cross. Jesus said, today you're going to be with me where? In paradise, not in hell. So you put all those together. So the center of the earth fits the description for hell. And very probably that's where it is, the center of the earth. It's down. It's dark. You ever been in a cave? We've gone through the Mammoth Cave, and then many times they'll turn off the lights just to show you how dark it is in a cave where there's no light, and you can't see anything. It's hot in the center of the earth, the molten lava. It is molten fire. People have said, well, how can you have a lake of fire and have total darkness at the same time? Well, the center of the earth fits that perfectly. It's hot, molten lake of fire, and there's no water. Normally, when you say a lake, you're going to talk about water. Well, this is a lake. It's molten, but there's no water there. Molten lava, molten rock fits that description perfectly. And it would also fit with the timing when, and let's notice in Revelation chapter 20, you know, all the people in hell are going to be resurrected to the great white throne judgment. And then they're going to be cast in the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the same description as hell, except at the great white throne judgment, every lost sinner is going to receive the exact degree of torment they deserve. How do we know this? Because they're judged according to their works. We know we're not saved by works. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Titus 3, 5. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Then why are they being judged according to their works? It's simply this. God is holy. God is just. And God is going to give every lost sinner the exact just amount of torment that they deserve. And all people don't deserve the exact same torment. Some are extremely wicked and vile, and others are just what you'd call a good citizen, but they're lost and they're undone. They're both going to go to hell. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a what? Great white throne. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. Okay, well, if the earth and the heaven flee away, and hell is in the middle of the earth, what's going to happen to all those people? Well, they're resurrected, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their what? Works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into what? The lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Chapter 21, verse 1, I saw what? A new heaven and what? A new earth. So, I say hell possibly and very probably is in the center of the earth. It fits the exact time those people would need to be out of hell, resurrected, so to be cast in the lake of fire, is the exact time when God destroys this earth and makes a new one. So the timing and the description of hell fits perfectly with that. So, this first earth is going to pass away. But right now, many people are passing away. And I'm afraid many of them have no knowledge of hell. Nick and I was out yesterday and talking to a young man, and he didn't know about Jesus Christ. You're kidding, in America? Someone doesn't know about Jesus Christ, hasn't heard about him? Well, that young man said he had not. If they haven't heard about Jesus, you can mark it down. They haven't heard the truth about hell. A horrible, horrible, horrible place. And you know, the sad thing is it's going to be more tolerable for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, and you look in Jude, and they're already suffering the vengeance of eternal judgment in 2 Peter. Those people, it's going to be more tolerable for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah in hell than for the people, Jesus said, who rejected the disciples giving out the word. Why? Because they had a chance to hear these people, and they rejected. And that tells me something, that in Sodom, they didn't hear because Lot wouldn't open his mouth. Lot was there to make money. And that's all he cared about until the very end. Then he tried to warn his sons-in-law, and they thought, yeah, you're crazy. And that's why it doesn't work. You know what? If we knew somehow the Lord was coming back next week, and we frantically went out there and said, people, You've got to get saved. Next Monday, the Lord is coming. You've just got to get saved. You know what they'd say? You're a lunatic. You're a lunatic. If we don't faithfully live for Christ and continually tell them the truth, if it was the last second and we went warning them, crying, pleading, you know what? They wouldn't listen. If that hasn't been the story of our lives, the steadfastness of our lives, they're not going to listen if we go frantically to them at the last moment. 2 Peter chapter 3, we believe in global warming, but we saw Wednesday night, it's not the global warming these people talk about today. This global warming is when the Lord gives the word and this earth burns. 2 Peter 3, verse 7. 2 Peter 3, 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same what? Word are what? Kept in store. What is holding this place together? God's word. God is sustaining this planet. If it wasn't for that, it'd be gone in a moment. Kept by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto what? Fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. We just saw from Revelation chapter 20. We know when it's going to happen, when it's going to burn. And so we try to persuade people to be saved. In closing, look at Jude. Jude. And verse 22. Jude 22. Jude 22, and of some have what? Compassion, making a difference. In other words, some people are going to be moved by your tears. Other people, they could care less. Verse 23, and others save with what? Fear. Pulling them out of what? The fire. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So verse 22, some have compassion, making a difference. Verse 23, others save with fear. There's no fear of God in the land. No fear of God. We've got to be faithful. We've got to be faithful preaching the subject of hell. We don't just preach about hell, but they've got to hear the negative. If they don't hear the negative consequences, you know what they're going to do? They're just going to go on in their life. It's like a child. You know what? If you'll take out the garbage, I'll give you a candy bar. Okay, Daddy, I'll take it out. Here's your candy bar. The next day, I'll give you a double-decker hot fudge sundae if you'll take the garbage out. Okay, Daddy, I'll take the garbage out. Third day, Junior, take out the garbage. What are you going to give me? Nothing, just take it out. I'm not going to do it unless you give me something. These people that think, oh, just reward, just reward, just reward. You know what that makes us? Lazy and demanding is what it makes us. You know, they've got to hear the negative. You know, there's people in this world that almost can talk their way out of anything. And they're convinced in their mind that when they stand before God, they're going to talk their way out of this whole thing. There is a way. There is a way. I'll get around. There's a way. They're in for a rude awakening. They're not going to talk their way out of hell. There's no way out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would help us, Lord. We know today that so many scoff at the idea of hell. Even many professing Christians scoff at the matter of talking about the negative, of talking about hell. They would say, you'll never win them talking like that. What are you trying to do? Scare them out of hell? We've seen from your word, you say that is the way to win some. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Lord, please help us to preach the whole counsel of God, the positive and the negative, that the power might flow, that people might be brought to their knees before you, Lord, the one and only holy and loving God. But the just God, the truly holy God. Have your way now in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.